Visiting with you and with me. It's an awesome, awesome feeling to have the God of the universe touch you. Tonight, if I'm going to go ahead and have you stand for a few moments, and we're going to read from a very familiar and often preached story, but maybe not so much an often read passage in this story. We're going to be reading talking about Abraham, who had been called of God out of the land of the Chaldeans, sent on a journey by God. And if you know anything, and if you've read anything about this journey, it was a journey of faith and a journey of promise. In the passage, we read that the promise or the covenant that God had made with Abraham generations earlier was going to come, but it was going to come at a price. There was going to be a price that had to be paid to reap the benefits of the covenant that God had given to Abraham. So reading in Genesis 15, 13 through 15, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. 400 years of affliction." Now God is telling this to Abraham long before the children of Israel ever went into Egypt. God is telling this to Abraham before Isaac, before Jacob, and the sons of Jacob. Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards, they shall come out with great substance. Everybody say that, great substance. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to look at them and say, "I'm not leaving here empty." You may be seated. If you came here tonight, and you came here empty, you came here depressed, you came here sick, you came here struggling, I want to tell you tonight that you do not have to leave here empty. You don't have to leave here the same way you came here unless you choose to leave here empty. The choice is up to you. But the opportunity to leave here full is going to present itself. In this passage of Scripture, we discover that God is telling Abraham what is going to happen to his future descendants. God is giving Abraham a glimpse into the future of this great nation that God has promised him, as well as all of the descendants of Abraham. It starts out with not so pretty of a painting. If we were to take and look at this picture, and we were to take and read the first part of this verse, and you look at it, and it doesn't look like it's a very well or a very beautiful painting. But when you begin to read and you begin to understand and you know the background behind the covenant which God had made with Abraham, the painting turns into something that is very beautiful. It becomes a canvas of great beauty. As you go into the past, we go into Abraham and we go into Sarah, and they have their promised son for many years. And Pastor spoke of this morning. For many years, Abraham and Sarah had wished to have a son. God had promised them. And as Pastor said this morning, when God spoke to Sarah and the angels came and spoke to them and said they're going to have a child, they laughed. And if you were here this morning, you can hear, understand the story and the reason behind, because Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. And they're going to have a son. Now that's something that you can laugh about. But you know what? Isaac was born. The promised son was born. And not only was Isaac born, Isaac grew up and he had two sons. And we understand those two sons, the names to be Jacob and Esau. Now Abraham and Sarah by this time have long passed on. And Jacob twisted his lied to his brother and twisted his brother and was able to take and get that birthright that actually belonged to Esau because he was firstborn. They were twins, but Esau was the first one born, and Joseph or Jacob was the second one, and Esau went away, and now Jacob has the birthright, and Jacob has 12 sons, and Joseph was one of those 12 sons. And we know of the story, and we've heard the story, and you can go into Genesis and read the story how that Joseph was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. They were jealous of Joseph because he was the father's favorite. He was Jacob's favorite. He ends up in Egypt, and as the story continues, if you remember before Jacob went down and went into Egypt, that Joseph had been down there and had been sold into slavery, and all of this, a number of things happened that were looking at years down the road. Jacob, his father, had been summoned to come down and join up with his lost son, a son that he thought was dead. He stops in Beersheba, and there in Beersheba, he presents an offering of thanksgiving to Jehovah God, and he asks God whether or not he should go down into Egypt. He was perplexed about whether or not he should take where he was living, the land of Canaan, the land of promise, the land that Abraham, their father, had been promised by God, and he's going to leave that land along with all of his descendants and go down into Egypt to ride out the famine. And God spoke to him in Genesis 46:3, and he says, I am God, the father of thy father, and says, fear not to go down into Egypt, for there in Egypt will I make thee a great nation. They went in numbering a mere 70, but when they came out of Egypt, they were numbering as people, some people would say they were numbering into the millions. They went in as farmers and they went in as shepherds, but they came out as skilled craftsmen. They came out as skilled tradesmen. They came out as engineers and such. They knew how to build. God had used that period of time in their life of slavery to teach them some things that they were going to need as they began to occupy the land that God had promised them. They couldn't occupy it as just shepherds. They needed to know how to build walled cities, and they needed to know how to build wells, and they needed to know how to engineer things. And all of these things they learned while they were in Egypt, while they were in captivity. The condition maybe that you are in tonight, the struggles that you are dealing with tonight, you do not have to leave here the same way that you came in here. You may have come in here empty, but you can leave here filled. You may have come in here broken, but you can leave here whole. You may have come in here sick, but you can leave here tonight healed. God told Abraham, you're going to have to go through some great afflictions. You're going to have to go through some troubles, Abraham. You're going to have to go through some trials, 400 plus years of trouble and trials. But I promise you, Abraham, I promise you, Abraham, surely as I am God, I will bring you out. Now, not did he just bring them out. He didn't bring them out as the story, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, bring you out. It wasn't just a near miss, bring you out. It wasn't just barely by a thread were you brought out. He says, I will bring you out. With substance. But not just substance. You're not going to come out with just what you went in with. You're not going to leave here tonight with what you came in with. You want to get something from God. God says, you come in here, I will leave. When you leave here, you can leave with not just substance, but you can leave here with great substance. When they came into Egypt, they came in with nothing more than the clothes on their back and a few animals. But when they left with great substance. Sometimes when you're in the heat of the battle, all you need to know is that you will come out of what you are in. Sometimes you don't have to know how you're coming out. Sometimes you don't know the plan. You don't understand the plan. You don't understand what God's bringing you through. But you need to understand one thing, that you are going to come out of the situation that you are in. Personally, I've been through some things. in my own life that Satan has told me that there's no way out of this, Roy Grant. You are stuck. I've got you checkmated. There's no way you can get out of the mess that you're in. There's no way you can get out of the struggles that you're in. But I have to understand one thing, that I understand that in myself and by myself, there's no way that I'm ever going to get out of the mess. But if I understand God and I understand who God is, God can take and bring me out of any situation and any circumstance that I'm in. If God cannot save me, if God cannot raise me up, if God cannot heal me, if God cannot bless me, then who is going to do it? Nobody likes going through trials and afflictions. Nobody likes trouble. Nobody likes to have car problems. Nobody likes to have house mortgage problems. Nobody likes to have marriage problems. Nobody likes to go through any of these various things in their life. But in fact, the very thing that qualifies for a great success in your life is going through a great trial. If you want great substance in your life, if you're here tonight and you wonder what in the world is happening in my life, if you want great substance in your life, you have to prepare yourself for great afflictions. A person who has never been tried and a person who has never been tested will never take and reap the benefits. But if you're tried and you're tested, you're tried in the fire, you will enter a destiny. All hell is going to break loose against you when you get close to your promise, the promise that God has given you. All hell is going to break loose in your life when you get close to that promise being fulfilled. We have a promise that regardless, the Bible says in Isaiah 54:17, that whatever weapon Satan formed against you and whatever he formed against me will not prosper. You may not understand why you have to go through such times as testing and such times as trials, but God just may be positioning you for the greatest blessing that you have ever known. A ridiculous battle. The ridiculous battle that you're fighting today is going to end with a ridiculous blessing. Did you hear what I said? The ridiculous battle that you're fighting here today is going to end with a ridiculous blessing. It's going to end with something that's just going to boggle and blow your mind. God can take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it into good. The Word of God says that all things, not some things, but all things work together for our good, found in Romans 8:28. I love that. All things, all things. Joseph told his brothers in the story read tonight in Genesis 50, later on in Genesis 50, chapter 20, what you meant for evil. You sold me into slavery. That was an evil thing to do to your brother. But God meant it for good. And you have to understand that God is positioning you. God is positioning you tonight for a breakthrough. He's setting you up for greatness. Your setback is preparing you for your comeback. There is light at the end of your tunnel, and setbacks are only temporary. The obstacles in your life are nothing more than stepping stones into the future that God has planned for you. You're going to come out of the situation you're in, and you're going to come out with more than you had than when you went in it. We look at Joseph in the book of Genesis, chapters 37 through 41. The story of Joseph, his brothers tried to destroy him. Potiphar's wife lied on him, and he ended up in an Egyptian prison. People may be trying to destroy you. Family may be trying to destroy you. Friends may be trying to destroy you. But remember, there's only so much that people can do. There's only so much that can be taken away from you. There are some things that people simply cannot take away from you. People cannot take away your relationship with God. You have to willingly give that up. People cannot take away your praise. You have to willingly give that up. People cannot take away your future. You have to willingly lay that down. They cannot take away your blessings, because in my Bible, what God says, and when God says you are blessed, you are blessed, regardless of what friends say, regardless of what people say against you. There's only so much that Satan can do against you. Do you realize that? There's only so much that Satan can do against you. I love the story of Job. When Satan Satan came and had this powwow with God and says, you know what, I think if you can give me Job for just a little bit of time, I can turn him around to where that he's going to curse you, and everything Job has is based upon his wealth. Only reason he serves you, God, is because you blessed him. And God says, all right, but I'm going to be the one that's in control of the battle. You see, God's never going to give Satan full control. Not while you're fighting, not while you're struggling. Job's my servant. God says, you know what, Satan, I'll take you up on this. I'll take you up on this, kind of like that The Devil Went Down to Georgia song. I'll take you up on this bet. You're going to regret this one, Satan. Because Job, he's like the best servant that's ever been. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath in thy power upon himself put not forth thy hand. Job 1:12. When Satan attacked Job, you know what? Job could have cursed God and died just like his wife told him to do. Now what an encouragement. How would you like to be unemployed, out of work, lose everything you had? You're sitting out in your front yard. You got boils all over your skin, and you take an old broken flower pot, and you start scratching yourself, and your wife comes out and says, why don't you just curse God and die? Boy, what a helpmate. What a helpmate. Way to pump him up there, Miss Job. Way to make him feel good. Didn't you say for better or for worse till death do us part? Evidently, it's just for better. Good thing that God didn't test her. So Satan attacked Job. We read in Job 1:20-22, when Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down on the ground. And what did Job do? He started to worship. He started to worship. He started to worship God. And what did he tell God? He said, naked. Lord, I came into this world naked. I came out of my mother's womb naked. And naked I'm going to return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, and charged God, and not nor charged God foolishly. He boldly made the declaration that in spite of what he was going through, he would not remain in the affliction that he was in. I think Job knew and had enough faith and enough confidence in his God that the problems and the situations that he was going through was only going to be for a time and for a set season. And when that time and that set season was up, that God was going to continue to move and bless in his life. You need to declare you will come out of your troubles like Job declared. Declare that you will come out of your trials. And as Job says, I will come forth as gold. Job 23:10, and he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The children of Israel went into affliction, just like God told Abraham they would. They were in bondage in Egypt, and they needed a deliverer. For 400 years of affliction, the children of Israel began to cry out. After 400 years, I don't know why it took 400 years, but after 400 years, the Bible says they began to cry out for a deliverer. They cried and cried out, and God raised up a deliverer by a man named Moses. And we've heard the story of Moses along with his brother Aaron. In obedience to God, he goes to Pharaoh and he commands Pharaoh to let God's people go. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He refused to obey the voice of God, and Moses returns back to Pharaoh. Time and time and time again, he goes back to Pharaoh. And each time, Pharaoh hardens his heart even harder and harder and harder and refuses to let God's people go. The more Moses went to Pharaoh and the more plagues God sent to Egypt, the more stubborn Pharaoh became and the harder he made the life for the children of Israel. But understand one thing that God was not overlooking, because he understands the beginning from the end of your situation. The closer they got to their deliverance, the worse things seem to get. So if you're in a situation in your life tonight and it doesn't seem to get any worse or can't get any worse, it just may be that you're this close to your deliverance. The closer you get to the deliverance, the closer you are to your breakthrough. The closer you are to your victory, and the more the enemy is going to come against you. You see, Satan doesn't want you, and Satan doesn't want me to come out of our afflictions. No matter what they are, he doesn't want us to come out. Whatever the addiction is in your life, if you have addictions in your life, Satan doesn't want you to come out of those addictions. If you're here tonight and you're an alcoholic, Satan wants you to stay an alcoholic. If you're here tonight and you're a gambler, Satan wants you to continue to blow your money in the gambling halls. If you're here tonight and you're a smoker or you're a drug abuser or anything like that, Satan wants you to stay in the condition that you're in. Satan doesn't want you to receive the promise that God has given you. But what God gave you in the promises in the Word of God, those promises are going to come to pass. Numbers 23:19 tells us that God is not a man. He's not like you and me. He doesn't have to work by the same set of rules that we work by. And I'm so thankful for that. But you see, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, and that he will make good on his promises. So that simply means if you go into this book, and I love that song, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in his love divine, because every promise in this book is mine. It's mine. If hell is hitting you, and you need to get excited because God's get ready to move on your behalf. Things got much worse for the children of Israel before they got much better. God is in it for you, and God is not against you, and he will deliver you out of your affliction. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. But what you see and what you feel has absolutely nothing to do with the situation that you're in, because God has got it in control. If God said it, you got to believe it. If God said, I'm going to bring you out, Israel, then you're going to come out. And whatever God says, it will come to pass. God told Moses, he says, tell Israel, get them all together. Tell that I'm getting ready. I'm not only getting ready to deliver them, but I'm going to get ready to bless them. And they're going to be blessed with not just substance, but great substance. In fact, God told them that they were going to take and find great favor in the eyes of their captors, their enemies, the people that has enslaved them, slaughtered their children for 400 years. God says, you're going to become favorable in their sight. Now, does that make sense to you? That doesn't make any sense to me. The very ones that had enslaved them and had beaten them, Moses should have been slaughtered, but his mother hid him in a basket and spared his life. Generations of babies, children, the very ones that God had chosen, the very ones that had done all this to them, God says, they're going to bless you. Exodus 3:21 says, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, when you're ready to go out of here, you better get ready. He's given them a command. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and ye shall not go out empty. You don't have to leave here tonight empty. God is about to bless Israel greater than they had ever been blessed. God is getting ready to bless and pour out a blessing upon you and your life greater than anything that you have ever experienced. People may have laughed at you and ridiculed you and poked fun of you, but you know what? You stayed faithful. You continue to stay faithful to God. You never quit and you never give up. You could have quit, but you refused to quit. You could have walked away, but you chose to stay. And now God's saying, listen, brother, listen, sister, it's payback time. It's payback time. I love what we read in Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, how long that season's going to last in your life, I don't know. It lasted 400 years for the Israelites. It may last a year in your life, like Job. It may last 6 months. It may last 4 years. I have no idea how long you're going to be in that season. But the Bible says, for in due season, we will reap. We will reap if we faint not. Before they walked out, the Egyptians blessed them. Exodus 12, 35 and 36 says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and cotton, great raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Just as God gave the children of Israel favor, God's getting ready to give you favor. The very ones that worked against you in your past are going to be the very ones that God chooses to work for you. I don't know, and you may not know, or I know you not. Excuse me. Sometimes my brain gets going too fast for my mouth. God is getting ready to turn a page in your life. A new chapter in your life is getting ready. And God is going to take, and this is going to be the greatest chapter in your life. I know times in my life, I sometimes wonder if I had to write a book. Sometimes you wonder how bleak that book would be. But I'm just thankful, Brother Thomas, that the beginning of the book and the middle of the book and the end of the book has a very different tones in it. I'm not still stuck in the middle of my book because God has brought me out of some of those things. And you look at the ending, the chapter, you're getting ready to enter into a season of divine favor. I remember some time ago, Brother Phil preached a message about seasons of life. And sometimes it's hard to abide. And sometimes it's hard to follow after the word of God because you get lost in all of the struggles. And if you want to listen to this message, you can go online and you can download it. But God is getting ready to reward you for your faithfulness. God is getting ready to place some blessings in your hand. In fact, God will bless you with some things that you didn't even have to work for. I talked to a brother here just not too long ago, and it was very encouraging. I'm not going to give you his name, but I do know a few things about this brother and the situation he was in. A few years back, him and his family were totally homeless. Didn't even have a home to live in. And he shared with me, I believe it was last Sunday night, that he got his W-2 form back. And he went from homeless, not even having a home, to on his W-2 form, he made $91,000 last year. Now who would have ever thought that you could go from homeless to almost six-digit figures in just a few years? But you see, God has a plan. You see, if you're faithful and you continue forward and you don't quit and you don't give up, God has got a blessing for you. You're going to receive a blessing. And some of those blessings, you're going to find out that, you know what, I didn't even have to work for it. And you say, well, is this some kind of like a prosperity message that you send in? Brother Roy, you send in $500 and God's going to take and give me a new car? No, You see, we read in Ruth 2, 15 and 16, we read about Ruth, who that when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men of the field and says, you know what? Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Here Ruth was in a land, a strange land, and she was out of her home. She didn't have a family. And here she's here and she's taking and she doesn't have much food. And God is providing things for her, things she didn't even have to work for. They said, leave extra. See that lady out there? Leave some extra food for her. God promised to bring the children of Israel out of their afflictions, and he came through on his promises. But God says, before you experience total victory, before you experience that great reward, you're going to have to, and you may just find yourself in situations that are hopeless. You look at the Israelites, they left Egypt. And they left with great substance. They basically took all of Egypt's values, all of their gold, silver, costly jewels, and fancy clothes, and they got out of Dodge. They were gone, out of here. But what did they find themselves? They found themselves looking at the Red Sea. with no simple way or no natural way to cross it. And to make things worse, Pharaoh and his mighty army were coming toward them, determined to take them back into captivity. They found themselves in a place that where to the north was their enemy, and to the south was the desert, and to the east was the Red Sea, and to the west was the land of Goshen. And in the place where it seemed that there was no way out, Israel decided to cry out to God. Here Israel is in what seems like a hopeless situation. The enemy is angry. And he says, you know what? I let you out of your bondage. You broke free from that bondage that you were in. You broke free from that sin that you were in. And I'm angry about it. I'm going to come and get you back. See, that's what Satan always does. He's never going to give up. He's not going to quit. It's a frightful thing when that the very thing that you were just delivered from is trying to come back and conquer your life again. How many times we hear that have been in the church for years and what we would call seasoned saints, how many times have we fallen flat on our face with afflictions and things that we thought were long behind us, only to find out that we're tripped up by something that we did not expect? It is natural to look at Israel. It's natural to look at Israel and understand that at this point they said, you know what? We're going to be destroyed here. I might as well give up. I might as well quit and go back into bondage. They were afraid, but God said, I'm going to give you a miracle. I'm going to fulfill my promise to you, Israel. And I'm going to take you into a place of freedom. I'm going to take you into a place of liberty. And I'm going to take you into that place of promise. What I started to do in your life, I'm going to finish it. I don't start projects in your life and quit and give up on you. What I start in your lives, I'm going to finish. God says, I made a covenant with Abraham. I made a promise to Abraham, and I'm going to hold good or make good on that promise. But he also told Israel, and he told Moses, there's a few things, Moses, you're going to have to do. Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Exodus 14, 13 and 14. One thing that has to go in your life and has to go in my life, and that is fear. Fear has got to go. God said to them, be not afraid. But it's difficult sometimes not to be afraid when your enemy is pursuing you. It's difficult not to be afraid understanding that you're going to be taken back into bondage and your children may be slaughtered again. It's difficult not to be afraid when you receive a bad report from the doctor. It's difficult not to be afraid when you have more bills due than you have end of the month. It's difficult not to be afraid when you have no money to pay them. It's hard not to be fearful when the lives of your children are falling apart because of drugs, alcohol, or maybe your marriage is falling apart. But the first thing that the enemy always likes to use against us is fear. Satan knows that fear will stop the hand of God dead in its tracks. But I want you to understand one thing here tonight, church, but just as fear stops the hand of God, faith moves the hand of God. You see, when fear moves in, faith has to move out. But when faith moves in, fear moves out. You understand that? Romans 10:17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a big difference between faith and fear. You see, fear sees the storm, but faith sees the rainbow. Fear sees the giants, but faith saw the grapes. Fear sees a hopelessness, but faith sees an opportunity for God to be God in your life. Fear sees the bills, but faith sees God providing a way. Fear sees death, and faith sees resurrection. Jesus did not declare when he stood there at the tomb of Lazarus and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Moses said, God is going to make a way of escape. Get ready, be still, and be quiet, and don't be afraid. Not only did Moses tell them not to be afraid, but he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Exodus 14:13. So one thing that we can't allow is we just have to stand still and be quiet. That's a hard one to do. But when you got the enemy pursuing you and you can hear the dust of those chariots and you can hear the rumbling of the chariots, sounds like a freight train coming after you. And Moses says, resist the urge to move in the flesh. He says, everybody just stand still and be quiet. Could it be that Moses understood that you're about to hear the victory of the Almighty? You see, this was one situation that the children of Israel simply could not get out of. There was no way out of this. I remember some time ago, it's probably been maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was having a talk with Brother Ben Thompson. I was sharing with him a situation in my life. I'd been out of plumbing business for a number of years now, and I'd let all of my insurances and such. I kept all of my business insurances for 1 year for liability purposes, and I get this phone call one day from a law office in Milwaukee telling me that I'm going to be sued for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars because of something that happened on one of the jobs that I had plumbed years and years earlier. Boy, I went into panic mode. What am I going to do? I don't have the money to hire a lawyer, let alone pay thousands. It was well into the tens of thousands of dollars that they had to tear out all kinds of, and it was just a big mess. And I was talking with Brother Ben about it, and I said, Brother Ben, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I can sell this and sell this and sell this and, you know, take and get out of this. And I remember sitting in front of our fireplace, Brother Ben. I was sitting in my green chair, and you were sitting right across from me. And you looked at me, and you said, you know what, Brother Roy? And he was very tactful in the way he said this. I don't think he wanted to hurt my feelings. But he said, you know, I feel that in your life, the type of person that you are, every situation you've ever got yourself into, you've always felt like you can get yourself out of. I said, yeah. I said, that's true. I've always felt that God gave me a brain. And as a result of giving me a brain, that I should use that brain to the best of my ability and as efficiently and as effective as I can. But he said, you know, he said, maybe God has put you in a situation on purpose, because you can't get out of this one. You're going to have to rely on God. You're going to have to listen to God. You're going to have to be still. You're going to have to be quiet, Roy. Now, he didn't put it in that exact words, but within context of the message tonight, that was pretty much what he was saying, was just stand still a minute. Don't go selling everything you got. Just stand still and listen. Listen, a few weeks go by, and I mean, I'm getting calls almost every day trying, and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm going to do. I contacted another couple in the church and got some advice from them, and they told me their lawyer, and I called their lawyer, and he told me how much it's going to be and all this and that. And unbeknownst to me, my lovely, faithful wife back there, who doesn't seem to get rattled over much of anything, gets behind the computer, types out a short little letter of about 3 or 4 sentences long, sends it in, tells me afterwards, and you know what? We never heard from them again. I'm serious. I never got another call. The money that I was supposed to pay, I never heard, as God is my witness, I never heard another word back from that law office in Milwaukee. You see, God was just trying to tell me to just shut up, Roy. Just be quiet and listen. My wife got it, but I didn't. You see, be still. God says, stand still, Moses. You must resist the urge to move in the flesh. You see, this is one situation they couldn't get out of. You see, the first thing that we do when we're facing a situation that looks hopeless is we're going to try to take and figure this thing out on our own without asking God. Even though we have a promise from God, even though God had told me that he was going to take care of my every need, here I am trying to figure it out all for myself. But God said he's going to fulfill his promise. We read in Matthew 19:26. We read, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. God tells the children of Israel in Exodus 14:14, hold your peace. In other words, don't talk, be quiet, and listen. Because you see, I'm sure, and Pastor spoke of this some time ago in a message, I'm sure that if they would have started to talk, and they would have started to murmur, that fear would have rose up among all of them. And then fear becomes panic, and panic becomes just widespread pandemonium breaks out. You got people running all over the place, and God says, uh-uh. I'm sure that they would have begun to talk about this. Man, we're better off to go back. We're better off to go into slavery and go back to our old homes and all of this kind of stuff. But God says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If you can't talk positive, then just don't talk at all. If you can't say something positive, then don't speak at all. And God understood that they had been in bondage. The words of God makes it very plain concerning the power of our words. You see, what's wrong words have the ability to stop the power of God from moving on your behalf and from moving on my behalf. I got a cousin that I love very dearly. He's a great, great, great man. But you know, his whole life, he always told himself that he was a loser. And he believed it. And by and large, most of his life he was. But he married a good woman that saw some value in him. And over years and years and years, she finally began to turn his mindset around to where that, you know what, you're not a loser. You're a winner. I didn't marry a loser. I married a winner. But you see, our words become so powerful. Our words have the ability to stop the power of God from moving on our behalf. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what we speak, what we say, people are literally snared up by your own words. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, and thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Exodus 14:15, and the Lord said unto Moses, therefore criest thou unto me, speak, speak, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now, where were they going to go? Where was forward? Forward was the Red Sea. This doesn't make any sense, God. When you got troubles and struggles and trials in your life and God tells you to move forward and you're looking at the obstacles that's in front of you, God says, move forward. Move forward. But God, there's the Red Sea there. I don't care, Moses. Tell the people we're going to move forward. So what did they do? They moved forward. But see, in the process of moving forward, they moved towards the Red Sea. And the closer they got to the banks of the Red Sea, the closer they got into the unknown. And the closer they got into the faith zone. And sometimes when you're facing a hopeless situation and you're in the middle of a test or you're in the middle of a trial, you have to move out by faith. Because faith always, always will require action on our part. Faith is always going to require action. Even though you may not feel like it, you move forward. Even though you may not like what's in front of you, you move forward because you're moving toward your destiny. the destiny that God has laid out for you, and you're moving forward by faith. God is waiting on you. It's all up to you. You came in here, or if you came in here empty tonight, you can leave filled, but it's all up to you. You have to move forward. You have to move forward in faith and say, whatever I need, he can supply that. Many times in my life, I didn't understand when God told me to do some things. I remember one day, just as I started out business, God told me to get up as distinctive as I could, just like he was right there in my ear, get up and go to Wisconsin Supply. And I'm like, Lord, I don't even have an account there, don't want an account there, don't want to do business there. And God said, get up and go. I got in my truck, said, well, Lord, there's been a lot of things happen to me lately, and I'm trying to step out, and I'm trying to learn to depend on you. For the first time in my life, I really started to understand and realize how important it was when God says move, to move. I went over to Wisconsin Supply. I drive in the parking lot. I turn the truck off, and I sit there, and I cross my hands, and I say, well, Lord, I'm here. What do I do next? God said, just sit here. Just like, be still. Be quiet. I have a hard time with that. God has to bring this back to my memory many, many times. Be still. Be quiet. A guy walks out, got a box full of stuff, walks past my truck, gets a 10, 15 feet past, stops, turns around, walks back, looks at the side of my truck, comes around. I roll my window down. He says, hey, I think I know you. I said, yeah. He says, I think I know you too. Not for sure the connection, but I've met you before. Yeah, you used to work for so-and-so. And I said, yeah. He said, you looking for work? I said, yeah, I just started a business. I don't have anything to do. I've just come over here. He said, oh, man, the guy was a Christian. He said, man, you're an answer to prayer. I got so much work, I don't know what to do, and I'm tired of doing plumbing because I'm not a plumber. I'm a cabinet man. I put in 2 or 3 kitchens a week. I do 2 or 3 bathrooms a week, and I need a plumber. Can you work tomorrow? You got anything going tomorrow? And I said, I got nothing going tomorrow. He has me come over to his truck. I drive my truck over to his truck. He opens up the back door and starts hauling out buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets of plumbing materials. I said, I don't want them anymore. I found me a plumber. God says, by faith, reach out in faith. Sit in this parking lot. If you got to sit here an hour, but be still, be quiet, and listen. God said, the battle's not your fight, Roy. It's not your fight. It's my fight. God told the children of Israel, this isn't your fight. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to deliver you from the Egyptians forever. I'm going to deliver you from the bondage that you're in forever. I'm going to deliver you from alcohol forever. I'm going to deliver you from drugs forever. Because the battle is not your battle, Roy. It's my battle. This is my fight. God told Moses in Exodus 14:14, this is my fight. This is a battle that's not going to be between you and your enemies. It's going to be between me and your enemy. Do you understand that? God told Moses, listen, those Egyptians, the battle is going to be between me and them, not between you and them. God just stepped in and took control of that battle. Notice what God does. He took that cloud. He says, I want to lead you out of here with the cloud. And he took that cloud and he put it between them and the Egyptians. So the Egyptians didn't have the foggiest idea where they were even going. And we know the story that they step in. The Bible says God caused an east wind to blow upon the face of the Red Sea, and the waters divided and they went across. And the very thing that had been trying to stop them allowed them to step up into their next level of their destiny that God had for them. When there seemed to be no way, God made a way. I love the old songs that we used to sing. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life and I shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. God can make a way for the children of Israel, and he can make a way for you. What became a road of deliverance for God's people became a graveyard for their enemies. What can become a road of deliverance for you and your life can become a graveyard for Satan and the enemies that's chasing you. Remember Job? We talked about him a few minutes earlier. The Bible says in Job 42:10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he had prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Job lost everything. He was a wealthy man. He was a Bill Gates of his time. He was an Apple, Steve Jobs of his time. And God took absolutely everything away from him but a cranky old woman that didn't believe in him. Nothing against women tonight, but she was cranky. She didn't have faith in God. And God said, you know what, Job? I'm going to give you back twice. I'm going to give you back double of what I took because you were faithful. I took away your children. And I'm going to give you back. And God said, you know what, Job? I'm going to give you back some beautiful daughters. And you know what? The Bible says that they were beautiful. They were the most fairest daughters of all the land. He didn't give them back some homely Jane. He gave them back just a beautiful, knocked dead, gorgeous girls and everybody. I'm not that bad good looking either. If it would have been sons, it would have been just some dud son. But the Bible just mentions the daughters, okay? Don't want any ladies getting mad at me here tonight. You see, God's eyes are upon you, and they're upon me. He sees that you've had an opportunity maybe in your life through the circumstances that you're in to become bitter. But instead of becoming bitter in your circumstances, you decided to become better. God has seen his faithfulness. He's watched you come to church. He's watched you come to church when you didn't feel like coming to church. He's watched you pay your tithes when the devil's tried to tell you if you put that check into your offering plate, you're not going to have any money for groceries. You're not going to have any money for gas. And you put that check in the offering plate and you believe and you have faith that God is going to take and provide. And God maybe provides. He sees your offerings. He sees it when it's a sacrifice. He's heard your praise and everything. He just looks at your life and he's heard all the various people that have maybe cursed at you and said all of these things. And God says, you know what? Because you have remained faithful unto me, I'm going to bless you. Your prayers are about to be answered. If our praise team would come, what he has stolen from you is about to be restored from you. Friends made fun of you, but you stayed faithful. You could have quit, but you stayed faithful. You could have lost faithful, but you stayed faithful. You could have lost faith, but you stayed faithful. And today, tonight, is your payback time. Tonight is your breakthrough. You may have come in here empty, but you can leave out of here blessed. You may come in here empty-handed, but just as God promised Abraham, he would bring his descendants out of captivity. He said, you're not going to come out of here empty-handed. You're going to come out of here with substance. Substance and great substance. God said there's no negotiating. There's no discussion. There's no looking back. You don't have to settle for less than what God has promised you. You've cried too many tears. You've crossed too many valleys and you've crossed too many, gone through too many mountains. You've come too far to look back. You came out of this with a better spirit than what you went in with it. You may come out of this with some scars, but the scars in your life are there to prove that you were in a fight. As reminders. What God calls blessed, what God calls blessed, nobody. There's not anything on this earth that has a power to destroy what God has called blessed. Pastor mentioned this a little bit this morning, and I was afraid he was going to go into the story. You may think we compare notes, but we actually do not. Just like Balaam the prophet, and if you could stand to your feet, we read about Balaam and the prophet. Israel had been on the way to the promised land. They'd been wandering around for some time, A king had sent Balaam, which was kind of a wayward prophet, a backslidden prophet, if you want to call him that, sent him out to curse Israel. And Balaam goes out there because there was a lot of money involved in this. Balaam said, you know what, I can't go curse. Those are the people of God. I can't go do that. And the king says, oh, but I'll give you lots of money to do this. So he gets on his donkey and he takes out there and he's going to curse them. But every time he opened up his mouth, Numbers 23:8 tells us, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed, or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? And every time he opened up his mouth, nothing but blessings flowed out. He couldn't even curse the children of God. God says, I'm not going to let you do this. Every time you open up your mouth, instead of a curse coming out, a blessing's going to come out. God has the ability to unlock your future. Your future is going to be greater than your past. Past mistakes, past failures, past disappointments has no control over your future successes in God unless you refuse to change your present. Ecclesiastes 7:8 tells me that the end of this thing is greater than the beginning. The devil knows it's your time. The enemy knows that something is about to change, that what has been done against you has not prospered. And now God is about to pour out a blessing upon you. As he told the children of Israel, you're going to come out of here, folks. You're coming out. You're coming out. You're coming out of Egypt. I'm bringing you out of bondage. But you're not coming out empty-handed. You don't have to leave here tonight empty-handed. If you're here tonight and there's struggles in your life, I don't care what they are, health issues, financial issues. You may say, Brother Roy, you sure do talk and preach about this a lot. That's because we all struggle a lot. And sometimes we're afraid because we've asked God too many times before that God's not going to bless us, maybe because we've asked too many times. But if you came here tonight empty-handed, empty-hearted, you don't have to leave here the same way that you came in. If you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, you've never repented of your sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have to leave here tonight without it. You want power in your life? Power to overcome the enemy? Come on down here. Faith, you got to make that step. Just as the children of Israel started to walk into a Red Sea, God parted the waters. You got to walk, you got to make that step. God's going to honor your faith. If I offered the first people down here $1 million, how fast would you get down here? If I told you that the first person down here, God told me that you're going to be healed on the spot, how many of you that are sick would be running down here right now? God says, by faith, by faith, by faith.
That makes me royalty.
You gotta make that step.
You're
struggling with things in your life. Come on down. You don't have to struggle anymore. God doesn't want you to struggle.
You can do
God
anything.
Wants to give you a life of peace,
you can
of joy,
things,
of happiness.
So I come.
So I open up these altars tonight. You don't have to leave here the same way that you came in.